This is Ted Brower, and welcome to another hour of the Ted Brower Show. I'm absolutely privileged. In a few minutes, I'll be bringing my wife on as my guest tonight. I've been in a tactical gun training class for like the past 7 hours. I just got home a few minutes ago, and I'm ready to do this show. We've got a lot of great new news to talk about. And my wife and I are going to be talking a lot about prenatal nutrition tonight and things that we learned while we were in the clinic and while we had the clinic operational for many, many years here in Central Florida. We actually saw up to 40 patients a day back in the 80s and the early 90s while our clinic was open, and we had one of the largest clinical offices in the southern United States. We had people flying in all over the world to help us to have come in and have us help them with their blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugar, blood chemistry, kids with ADD and ADHD. We had all kinds of incredible testimonials back then. And so I want to bring Sharon on tonight because we wanted to talk a little bit about prenatal nutrition with children. We want to talk about the amount of drugs that are given to children nowadays and the nightmare scenario that that causes. And I want to start off with a story real quick. I'm just going to read this for Sharon real quick, and I want her to listen to these statistics, and we want to talk about what we saw in the office. And it says that hundreds of thousands of babies are now on antidepressants and psychotropic drugs. It says an analysis back in 2013 found that over 274,000 infants ages 0 months, just freshly born to 1 year old, and some 370,000 toddlers ages 1 to 3 years in the U.S. were on anxiety drugs such as Xanax and antidepressants and Prozac drugs. Let me repeat that. 274,000 infants and 370,000 toddlers. This report also found over 1,400 infants were on ADHD drugs. The numbers in this survey suggest that around 10,000 infants are taking drugs for ADD, but some say that these estimates are far too low, that in reality, millions of children nationwide are taking these medications. And what we learned back in the 90s, I wrote a book on it back in, I think, in 2001. It was called Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities in Children. I actually broke down all the school shootings that we get research for, and we were able to track the smoking gun for these school shooters back to the psychiatric drugs and the medications these children were being given. And that book's out of print, but you can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it used there. It's like, you know, a few dollars now. We sold, I think that book sold several hundred thousand copies. And the reality was I called out what was going on with ADD and ADHD and autism back then, and I warned everybody how these rates were going to be staggeringly high. And now we have 1 in 58 children who have been diagnosed with autism in the United States. And now the latest statistics are coming in and saying that 1 in 2 children by the year 2025 will have autism. That's 1 in 2. So Sharon, do you remember when, by the way, Sharon, thank you for being on with me tonight. This is my wonderful wife, Sharon. Sharon, say hello.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Ted. You and I have been a team for 30 years helping people get set free from sickness and disease, and it's just such a privilege to be able to help people and actually be in the people business and doing something, you know, that's giving them hope.
Well, that's right. You know, I mean, hope in the future, that's what the word promises, as the Bible does. You know, I know we've been married to be, this is our 32nd year together as far as being married. We have 4 wonderful children.
And we still go on date nights. Every week, date nights.
That's right. Do you still remember when we were in the office and these people would come in and they would literally bring in an entire bag of medicine? They'd have like 25 different prescription drugs in a grocery store bag, and they would want me to go over every single drug and all of the side effects. Do you remember that?
Oh my goodness, Ted! It was insane. It's insanity. But what I wanted to comment on real quick is you were talking about the children and their drugs, and the drugs that they're being put on. And just recently, I ran into a UPS driver that I know, and their son was 6 months old, and they already had the baby on Nexium. Isn't that the one for the digestive system?
Yes.
Is that correct?
For the acid reflux. That's right.
Nexium.
And the craziest thing is that, you know, the nuttiest thing about all of this is, and this is what's going on with the immunizations, with the 72 shots or the 69 shots, however you want to count it, the children are supposed to have now while they're still in the, you know, elementary school. The craziest thing is this. The body's immune system is supposed to develop over time. It's supposed to develop by getting viruses through your nose, through your mouth, through the food that you eat. It's not supposed to develop the first year of life from anything other than mother's breast milk. All babies should be breastfed, and the mother's breast milk gives these children all of these immunities and all these immunoglobulins. And the craziest thing about it is, our scientists today, they don't think that God did a good enough job, and they have to go in now and have to accentuate these immune systems by giving these injections to these infants, and their bodies were never designed for them. The immune system
and
the body,
the kids never have a fighting chance.
No, the body that takes 10, 12, 15, 18 years to completely develop a really good, healthy, strong immune system, and measles and mumps and chicken pox and all of these crazy diseases that you and I both had when we were children that we now have lifetime immunities to, these diseases were all part of that maturation process of the immune system through the breast milk, through the vitamins, through the nutrition that we got as children, and our bodies gradually develop a very strong constitution. But they don't want to do it that way. They want to short-circuit the immune systems. How many times have we had kids come into the office, Sharon, that are just not mentally there, that have been immunized so many times that they have aluminum toxicity or something else, or they're slightly autistic? How many times have we seen that over the years?
Oh, many, many times.
Or heard about it on the phone.
But the thing is, that was back, you know, when we had our clinic. Now, Ted, you just go out to go shopping, go to the grocery store or something, and you notice children that they're not there. And, you know, the thing is, you're talking about the Ritalin and all that for ADD. Ted, you and I probably would have been put on Ritalin if they were giving it back then, because, you know, I got in trouble for talking. I know you used to get in trouble all the time for talking. Now you're a professional communicator, you know. It's just, and a lot of times these kids have a high IQ and they get put on this Ritalin, you know, to calm them down.
Well, that's true, because the amphetamine salts have the exact opposite effect on children. It makes them calmer instead of hyper. You're absolutely right about the fact that I would have definitely been put on a Ritalin when I was a child. I mean, I'm still pretty hyper, and I'm 60 years old.
But you weren't quitting it. I remember
people would always say to me, my teachers would say, well, you know, you just need to stop talking and you need to pay attention. And I'm like, well, this is so boring to me. I don't know what to say. I mean, this whole concept of what you're trying to teach me is so ridiculous that I don't even want to learn it. I'm telling the teachers this when I'm like 8 or 9 years old. And they're thinking, well, he gets A's and everything, so we're going to can't say anything to him. So they give me a D on my report card for a conduct. I remember one time I got a D. I think I was in fourth or fifth grade. And my mom saw that I had straight A's and one D. And she looked at the report card and she goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm talking in class and it's really boring. And she goes, you got A's and everything else? I said, yeah, I know, it's really boring, Mom. I said, I'm really, really just about had enough of this. It's just awful. And she just started laughing and she goes, well, I'm not going to say anything, Ted. You know, well, she called me Teddy back then. She goes, I'm not going to say anything to you, Teddy. She goes, the reality is you got all A's. You got a 4.0 GPA. You got a D in conduct. Okay, just don't make any bad grades. And I'm like, okay. And that was it. I remember I never got punished for it, Sharon. And it was kind of funny because nowadays they don't do that anymore. They don't have the ability to take you to the office and spank you like they did me, which made me finally stop talking. Now they say, well, we can't control the child, so we have to put this child on a drug, because that child is mentally ill. That child needs to be on a psychotropic compound, either Prozac or Zoloft or an amphetamine salt like Ritalin or Adderall. And we'll get that child to listen, because we can't spank that child any longer. We can't, you know, do what the Bible says anymore on that child. So we're just going to go ahead and drug that child into a stupor, and that's the way it'll take care of the child. And, you know, what's interesting to me, too, I remember years ago we had a friend of ours. I won't mention his name because this is a satellite show and it's all over the world. And I remember, well, let's just call him Joe. It'd be easier to just call him Joe. And Joe had two daughters, him and his wife did. And I remember the one daughter, every time she got shots, she lost some IQ points. So she got dumber and dumber, bless her heart. I feel so bad for her. And finally, I told Mike, you didn't hear that. I told Joe that we ended up basically saying, look, here's the deal. You know, you've got to stop doing this. And I remember one night they invited us out to dinner over in Orlando. They don't live here anymore, but this is years ago. Gosh, this is 15 years ago. And he had gone back in and given her another whole series of shots. And now she was so sick from the shot, she was laying down on the bench at the table.
She's crying.
Crying. And she was in so much pain. And now she has autism. And the thing about it is, we pleaded with this couple not to do this. We pleaded and pleaded and pleaded. And it's like Austin said, sometimes people just don't have ears to hear what you have to say. You know, I've told people before on the show that I got into a big argument with a longtime friend who decided that he was going to start immunizing his kids. He's in his mid-20s, and he told me he wasn't going to do it. I gave him all this literature. But the point is, this is a very personal decision that people have to make. And the crazy thing is, I can't tell you what to do, whether you want to do the immunizations or not do the immunizations. But this is what I can say to everybody listening. Do your own research. Your own homework. And you'll find very, very quickly that the side effects associated with these different types of immunizations are so bad with the squalene and the aluminum that's being injected into these children and the loss of IQ points that it's not really worth doing it. Between the fluoride and the chemicals and the Prozac and the Zoloft and the Ritalin or the Adderall, you know, we've got an entire generation of children that have been dumbed down. And it's really, really sad to see it because there's absolutely no reason this should have happened, and we are destroying the young generation of Americans. What do you think about that, Sir Sharon?
Well, I think if people don't want to do their own research and learn this on their themselves, they need to come sit in our office for a couple of days and answer some of these phone calls that we get and talk to these parents that are in tears and don't know what to do and say, I wish I'd listened. I wish I'd gotten your information. I wish I'd heard you on the radio sooner. I wish if. Not I'm glad I did. I wish I would have. And one of the worst things, and I've always said this, that we can say is to look back and say, I wish I would have. I want to make my choices so I can look back and say, I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I checked this out. I'm so glad I didn't rush into this. I'm so glad I spent more time with my elderly mother. I'm so glad I spent more time with this. I'm so glad I spent time with my family. I'm so glad I didn't do this. And say, I'm glad I did, because you hurt for these parents. It's horrible to see what they're put through and their children.
No, you're absolutely right. And see, that's the thing I always tell parents. I mean, we've had multiple families now that we've personally told them not to immunize the kids, and the kids have become autistic. One guy's a huge radio show personality out in the West. And I mean, I told him and begged and begged and begged and begged, didn't listen. Now he's got two autistic kids. And the sad part about it is I'm not saying if you're going to immunize the kids, don't do it if you decide you're going to do it. I can't tell you that. That's your own choice. But what I can say is this. If you're going to do it, which I don't recommend that you do, that you stagger the shots, that you don't give them compounds like the MMR together, the DPT together. You don't do that. You give them one shot at a time, individual dosing, and you make sure it doesn't have any thimerosal or aluminum as an adjuvant or as a sterilant. That's super, super important. And make sure it doesn't have fetal tissue cells in it. So make sure you get clean vaccines. So, you know, good luck finding those. But if you can find those, if you're going to do it, it's like Donald Trump said, you're getting way too many shots, way too close together, way too young. Can we spread this out or change it out and not do as many multi-vial shots? That's the point I'm trying to make. Let's think through this. Why are we going to have one in two children autistic in 10 years? We're not talking 100 years from now, Sharon. We're talking in 10 years, so nobody's going to want to have children. Because what this is actually part of the eugenics protocol, in which it's going to be so bad to have children that you're not going to want to keep these kids at home anymore, and you're not going to know what to do. Here's another article, Sharon, I want to share with you real quick. This is a drug rep. And she says in her paper here, that this is the article she wrote that was written on her by Jeff Roberts. It goes, the drug rep says, quote, we are trained to misinform. We are trained to lie. And then she goes, it was an awakening process, a spiritual and conscious process where I started observing what was happening, what some of the drugs were doing, the misinformation, the disinformation. I was being urged to minimize side effects when I talked to doctors. I started to realize that these patients were literally being tortured by the drugs. She goes on to say, by the time a drug is approved and hits the general population, we don't even know 50% of the side effects and what's involved with the drug, but we are trained to misinform, to lie to people. And what happened is she had a massive drug interaction with somebody in her own family, and it paralyzed, and she said, and that's when she finally found out what was going on. And finally she said, I was so disillusioned as well as angry when I found out how much deception, how much lying, how much misinformation was taking place, and how I'd been used in that game. I literally was the one on the front lines. I was harming people unintentionally, but I was responsible. I carry that burden for now. And I mean, oh, wow. Do you remember the time that Bonnie DeRose called us up? And her son, Austin, was in the hospital, and he was on death's door, and she didn't know what to do, and they had him on all these hospital IVs and food and everything else, and we told her, we said, Bonnie, go to talk to your doctor, they don't know what to do with him, do this, change the diet, do all the things we told her to do, and she did all that, and then he started getting better in the hospital when she did all that, they released him, he had a full recovery. And that's what we've heard so many times. The reality is, though, if you keep doing what you did to make that child sick with the junk foods and the GMOs and the chemicals and the additives and the shots and all the junk we put into their bodies through all of the glyphosate and all the things that we do, the Roundup, they're not going to get any better. You know, people are having so many problems with gluten sensitivity now and wheat sensitivity now. Maybe they don't have a sensitivity to gluten. Maybe they've got a sensitivity to poison. Roundup is sprayed on wheat crops 10 days before the harvest as a desiccant to dry them out to have a higher crop yield and be easier on the combines. This wheat is soaked in glyphosate. And when it's soaked in glyphosate, it causes all kinds of side effects. Let me give you a couple statistics, Sharon.
So wait a minute, Ted. You're saying it may not be that you're gluten intolerant. It's that you got a glyphosate toxicity.
That's correct. And
wow.
What happened is there's an attorney who got 15,000 pages. His name is Anthony Samsel. He's an independent investigator, research scientist, and he works internationally. And he was able to get 15 pages of Monsanto's original research on glyphosate with his co-investigator, Dr. Stephanie Schiff, at MIT. The two have been reviewing Monsanto's data. The conclusion is Monsanto's claims about glyphosate safety is straight a lie, patently false to what they say. The company has known for almost four decades that glyphosate is responsible for a large variety of cancer and organ failures. Clearly, it was for that reason that Monsanto demanded the data and reports be sealed and hidden from public scrutiny as proprietary trade secrets. Here's some of the cancers they've discovered. Monsanto discovered that these cancers are caused by glyphosate, by Roundup. Cancer of the pituitary gland. How many people have all these problems with their pituitary gland now, and they're having all kinds of health conditions from that because it's the primary gland that secretes human growth hormone.
We get calls on that constantly.
All the time. Glioma tumors of the brain. These are the glial tumors. These are the ones that are super aggressive. Roundup causes glial tumors of the brain. I mean, between that and aspartame, which is another Monsanto product, I mean, my gosh, reticular cell carcinomas in the heart, malignant tumors in the lungs, metastatic sarcomas of the lymph gland, prostate cancer of the bladder, thyroid cancer, adrenal cancer, basal cell squamous skin tumors. All of these cancers are caused by Roundup, by glyphosate, and Monsanto had it in their own research, and yet they released it to the population. It says, in female mammals, there were cancers of the lung, liver, thymus, stomach, bladder, adrenal, glands, ovaries, colon, uterus, parathyroid, and breast tissue, just from Monsanto's Roundup. Now, that's insanity. Now you have
well,
some
Ted, we used to spray it years ago, and the more we learned, we said we can't be using this. You can't keep your children from running around in Florida without shoes on, and all these people have pavers in their driveways and sidewalks and all that, and there's no way to prevent weed control. And finally, we figured it out, didn't we?
Tell them what we did, Sharon.
Well, what we did is we went to Sam's and bought these 25 pound bags of salt.
40-pound bags of salt that you
mix it in water.
Yeah,
and just poured it on our driveway, and 2 days later the weeds are dead. You have to keep it off your grass. You have to keep it off your grass. But I mean, we still have kids at home, and we've got a grandchild on the way, and you know, we don't want this glyphosate. You know, it stays there. They're talking now about the study in the I think it was published in the. One of the journals they were talking about toxicology and how they found out that you're talking about the liver cancer and all that, even going to the embryonic and placental lines, when they're exposed to this herbicide formulation for 24 hours and a dose as low as one part per million had adverse side effects. Well, you spraying this stuff on your sidewalks and these kids are running barefoot on it, it's going to absorb right through their feet.
That's exactly right. You know, in fact, we have a mineral salt program that's phenomenal. In fact, we actually soak our feet every day in magnesium chloride salts. We have them at the office at healthmasters.com. And by the way, this show is brought to you by healthmasters.com. We have a free newsletter that we send out all over the world every single week, like three times. It's all free. You can sign up for that. If you have any questions, you can almost always email us if you have any questions or health concerns. But we soak our feet. And the reason we do that is, remember years ago when you took that clove of garlic and you rubbed it, you cut it in half and you rubbed it on the bottom of your foot and you could taste it in your mouth in 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah. That sold me right there about how important it was what you put on your skin.
Well, no, and that's exactly right, because we have the magnesium salts that actually are incredible what they do. Sharon, you've never talked about this on this show. You talked about it on Hagman's show one night. Tell the listeners what happened after we had a yard maintenance guy die on us, bless his heart. I mean, he's a great
man. Well,
then
I felt like I needed to go out and do what he was doing, and so I thought I was going to conquer these weeds. And I'm sure if you live in areas like Florida, you know you don't conquer the weeds. The weeds always win. But I went out. I was so upset that he had passed away. He was almost like family, so I'm going out there talking to him and fussing at him, you know, and pulling weeds, saying, I really miss you. And I just profusely were pulling them almost all day, came in, and my fingers were so swollen, and they never went down. It was like an overuse injury. Then all of a sudden, they were starting to hurt. They were getting stiff, working out. I could barely hold the bar. And I said, Ted, I've got to do something. Excuse me?
Remember, Sharon, you couldn't close your fist. You had arthritis.
Couldn't even make a fist. Not even a loose fist. I couldn't even bend my fingers. It was horrible. And I wasn't going to deal with this. And you had said, we've got to find something. There's got to be a mineral or something that can help. And remember that our skin is our largest organ. And so it's a highly permeable membrane. I mean, it absorbs what you put on it. And we started using the magnesium salts and soaking in them, and I was bathing in them, soaking in the tub in them, using the foot soak and using the cream, using the sports oil and everything. And all of a sudden, I was noticing that my fingers were loosening up. Now I can actually make a big fist and punch a punching bag, and it doesn't even hurt. And
well,
I had spinal stenosis. And I had a lot of pain in my back. And I know, you know, if you've ever had any back pain, no matter what it's caused from, whatever, it's sometimes just one of the worst things that you can endure. And I said, Ted, I'm too active. We work out 6 days a week. I've got to find something. I'm too young to deal with this. I'm just not a quitter. Ted calls me a cyborg. I don't stop, you know. And so all of a sudden I started noticing that the back pain was diminishing, because I'd had such a severe magnesium deficiency, which is very prevalent in America today. And even though I was getting it, you know, a certain amount from taking it internally, I didn't realize that having it put on your skin topically or soaking in it, you're absorbing so much more, and you need it on a daily basis. It's so important that I think, what is it, 130 functions of
over 250 biochemical functions in the body are from magnesium.
Require magnesium. And that it just all made such sense to me. And I'm so excited now because I'm active again. And, you know, you get pretty down when you get in your 50s. You start thinking, well, I'm too young not to be able to do this.
Okay, now let me tell you something. A lot of them are thinking, she's talking about hitting a punching bag. She's 58 years old and she's hitting a punching bag. This makes no sense. Why is a 58-year-old woman hitting a punching bag? Let me tell you why. Little secret I really don't talk about my wife. She's a black belt in karate, taekwondo. And she hasn't been training in a few years because her back was messed up and her hands were messed up. She couldn't punch her bag anymore. And she retired several years back. But before she retired, she actually won the U.S. Open in weapons competition in Bo Staff, which is a world international championship. And we still have the trophy, you know, out there in the area where we work out in our gym. And it's amazing to me that she has that kind of ability. And that's why when she couldn't even close her fist and hit a punching bag, that's why she used that analogy, in case you were wondering. My pretty wife likes to hit punching bag, so I need to clear that up. Now, one more thing I want to talk about, but by the way, magnesium sulfate, Epsom salts doesn't work very well. I mean, it's hardly absorbable at all, and that's what a lot of people try to use, and it doesn't work. We use the magnesium chloride bath salts. We have them available at the office along with the deodorant and the sports oil and everything else. Now, another thing I want to talk about, this is superbugs are pretty much everywhere now, and here's what I always tell people is this. When you go to a bathroom, you have to wash your hands. When you leave the bathroom, when you wash your hands, you need to turn the water on, but you need to turn off the handle with a paper towel. And the reason for that is because people don't wash their hands before they turn the towel, the water on. And so the water is contaminated. Now, what's interesting about that is that about 80% of the population still doesn't wash their hands in some areas of the country when they go in a bathroom, and they're touching the door when they leave. And how important, how much have we stressed because of all the MRSA and all these superbugs that are running around right now, and the elderly population is so, and the children that can die from this. How many times, Sharon, have we told our children how not to touch this and how to wash their hands?
You know, Ted, I think a class would go over really well. It's called Using the Public Bathroom 101, even for adults. As a woman, and I'm just going to tell you, you go in the ladies' restrooms, and you see these ladies come out of the stalls, and then they go straight to the door and leave, and they don't wash their hands. Some will go to the faucets, and they'll come out of the restroom, they'll go to the faucet, and they turn the faucet on with their hand. I mean, why do people touch the knobs and turn the water on and then wash their hands and then turn the knob off without using a paper towel? It doesn't take rocket science to realize they're infecting their hands again.
No, but again, it's one of those things, unless people point it out, you know, and now a lot of bathrooms I've noticed are actually putting waste baskets, waste basket bins, garbage cans by the door, so when you grab the door handle with the paper towel, you can throw the garbage, the paper towel in the garbage can. And see, that's what people need to realize, that you have to realize these superbugs are everywhere. Now, here's another really good article too. This is a good one. I don't have an author on this one, but it's pretty good. It talks about the seven things you should do to help your health. And number one, it says low electromagnetic frequencies, Wi-Fi, microwaves are killing us and our children. How many times do we tell the kids, if you're using a cell phone, use the speakerphone, don't leave it on in your hip over your ovaries if you're one of our girls. In fact, we don't even give them cell phones that are around, but they're only 12 and 14. They don't need cell phones or iPhones. And we tell them you can't be playing with Wi-Fi equipment or anything else because of the energy. And at night, we always go ahead and we, Sharon, try to push your phone cord into that phone. I think you're short now a little bit on my end.
Okay.
I think you got a little short on the But what happens when we always tell the people to always remember that they can't be running around, you know, and playing with Wi-Fi equipment, especially children.
Well, you know, Ted, when the Wii first came out, we went and bought it for our kids, and we noticed our girls were holding it right on their hip area. And you said, okay, we're done with it. We're selling it. And we got out our first son, Austin, who's 27, 26 now. We got out his old Nintendo, and kids come over and they love it. It's the kind that hooks up to the TV.
Has wires,
not Wi-Fi, and they love doing Mario Kart and 007 and all that. And they're not getting radiated.
No, they're not. In fact, Dr. Barry Trower, he reports that UK U.S. female children exposed to school Wi-Fi throughout schooling are predicted to have at least a 57.7% miscarriage or stillbirth rate when they give birth in adulthood. Is that nuts?
Oh.
And then the next thing this guy says that we should do, he says the real reason for GMOs is a depopulation agenda, and that they're actually rewriting our genetics and our genes. Tell the people what happened. We ate at the Columbia restaurant a few months back, and it's a really good Cuban restaurant in Orlando, and the prices are real reasonable, but we ate at this restaurant. They have this bread and everything else there. We ate this. How many days did we have brain fog, Sharon? I mean, it must have been 4 or 5 days we couldn't even think clear.
Yeah, I know the first 2 days were really dramatic, and we both had it. And, you know, we normally didn't get it, but we're starting to, if we do eat out now, we're starting to notice it more and more and more. I don't know if the foods are getting worse or just that we've eaten so clean now that our bodies are rebelling and they refuse to do it. I know Lana is pregnant, our daughter-in-law, and she ate at a restaurant the other day that I guarantee it was GMO, and she goes, the baby doesn't like GMO. The baby only wants organic.
She got sick and she vomited. That's
and
right.
It felt horrible.
Yeah, and the craziest thing about it is that more and more and more crops are being sprayed with glyphosate before they're harvested. And the problem with that, Sharon, is glyphosate is a cumulative toxin that builds up in the tissue. And so after a point, you reach a threshold level, it's called in biochemistry, and the threshold issues what's called a trigger response. And so what happens is after you've drunk and eaten it and everything else for so long, it starts finally becomes so toxic in your body that just a little bit more starts causing all of this brain fog and all these side effects.
Wow.
And all of these horrible diseases that I've already talked about. So stay away from that and eat clean. Now, I want to caution you about Whole Foods. Whole Foods does not have only GMO-free organic food. They won't even label their GMO foods at Whole Foods. And the reason for that, the bulk of their stuff probably in that store contains GMO compounds and also glyphosate. And so you're going to these Whole Foods stores and you're paying all of this stuff, all of this money, and you don't even know what you're buying because they won't label it. You're better off to go to an organic farm and garden, if you have one, or locally, and buy your stuff from a local produce person who produces it himself without a bunch of chemicals and find out how he's growing it. We have these in our area, and that's what we always try to do. Now, next thing this man tells us in the article, more and more men and women are experiencing baldness. And what they're saying is that Bayer and Monsanto, again, have treated plants with growth hormone additives to promote faster growth, and the growth hormone additive in these plants is causing those people to become bald in some cases. And you know, it's interesting to me because now they have huge amounts of billions of dollars in profits through increased hair loss pharmaceuticals. It's like they cause the hair to fall out and they give you the drugs to try to make your hair come back in again. And one of the easiest things you can do with hair is, number one, eat more sulfur, which is eggs.
Eggs.
The yolk of the eggs is so important for hair. In addition to that, bioplasma cell salts, silica, and also the bioplasma salts, the full range of salts, and the silica salts.
We also have the sulfur salts too.
That's right. And also remember, one of the best ways to keep your hair from turning gray is to use the mineral salts. We talk about the magnesium chloride and also zinc every single day. That helps to keep the hair from changing colors. That's really, really important. Now, the next one. Let's talk about tattoos, body piercing, and cosmetic surgery and how they pose major health risks. Here's the thing. You know, when people go in and they have all of this ink injected into their body, what in the world do they think they're doing? All these chemicals that could have lead, arsenic, mercury. Who knows what in the world these tattoo parlors are putting in their body? That's why the Bible was very clear about not tattooing your body. You know, that God said don't do it. And people say, well, God said don't do a lot of other things too. Okay, I got that. Okay, we're not under the old law. We're not under the Old Testament. But Jesus said not one jot, not one tittle shall be taken away from the law until everything is accomplished. Now, the reality is this. If God doesn't like you doing it and he tells you not to do it in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, just maybe he's telling you that for a reason, that he's trying to help you to stay alive and stay healthy. But I see these people come in and they're just tatted up. They got tattoos all over their bodies, and you're like, gosh, I can't believe how toxic you must be with all those chemicals and those tattoos. So please, don't do tattoos. It's just one of those deals that you don't need to get started. I know my son, Austin, who I did the tactical training with today, he was going to go into the Marine Corps back when he was 19 years old. He'd already graduated from college with his bachelor's degree, and he was accepted into the officer's training program. And they told him he'd be like one of the youngest Marine Corps officers ever in the history of the Corps. But, you know, first thing they asked him, they said, do you have tattoos? And he goes, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, if you have tattoos, you are not allowed to be an officer in the United States Marine Corps. I mean, just that quick. And luckily, by the grace of God, he didn't have any tattoos. But then what happened is King Obama won the election, and Austin said, I don't want to serve under King Obama because Obama's never had any military experience, and I don't want to have him telling me to go fight wars that I don't want to fight. And so he decided not to go into the military, which I think is a great move on his part. Now,
well, on the tattoo issue, though, Ted, a lot of people that you talk to, they get them when they're young. You know, they're not at the age of concrete rational thought yet. And so many people I've talked to have said, I wish I hadn't have done it. Now I regret it. Now I've got to go through all the pain of getting it removed and all that. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I think we all, when we're young, we do stupid things and, you know. But now the toxicity issue of it is just that's a health risk. And when you know about it, I mean, I don't know if people want to, you know, put that poison on their body.
No, that's absolutely right. Now, interesting. The next thing he says in this little article, he goes, humans are the only species on the planet that knowingly and willingly, repeatedly poison themselves. he gives examples of smoking and drinking fluorine and chlorine and junk foods and recreational drugs. And he's absolutely right. I know you can take aspartame and you can put it on a flower bed or, you know, an ant bed, and the ants won't even touch it. They run away from it. It's like an insecticide because it contains phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and paint thinners. They don't want to drink it or eat it or get around it, but we put it in our bodies on an ongoing basis. I mean, how many times have we had people come up to us and just argue with us until they were blue in the face that they're going to drink their diet sodas, and there's nothing that we can say, Sharon, that it's going to stop them from doing it?
That's right. That's right.
And it's sad because sometimes you can't win that argument because, remember, this is a dopamine release. There's an aspartic acid receptor in the brain that actually releases dopamine when you ingest aspartic acid. And so what happens when you drink aspartame, which contains 40%, 45% aspartic acid, when you do that, you trigger dopamine response in the brain. It's almost like a brain entrainment molecule. And the next thing he tells you to do is stay away from fluoride, which I just mentioned. And you know what? How many times have I said this, Sharon? How many thousands and thousands and thousands of times have I done this radio show that top 10 foods never to eat. And number 7 on that list is chlorine and fluoride. Never put them in your body. And yet, it doesn't make any difference. The dentists are still putting topical fluoride on your teeth, which is rat poison. The government and Harvard and everybody else already realized that the government's lowered the amount of low fluoride you can put in the water because they're getting too much fluoride. It's wreaking havoc with the thyroid gland, which thinks it's iodine. Fluorine, chlorine, and bromine are all halogens, and the body thinks, and so is iodine, so they get absorbed into the thyroid gland. We have so many people with thyroid conditions, and I don't even know what to say about fluorine. I mean, I cannot believe that people think that a byproduct of phosphate fertilizer and aluminum production, which is used as rat poison, is okay to put in the water supply and okay to drink in any concentration. This stuff is so toxic and so bad that Harvard said you can lose up to 20 IQ points in a child by giving them repeated amounts of fluoride in their water and in their formula. This is insanity that we're doing this, and we're doing it on a massive scale. You know, that's why so many countries around the world have said no to fluoride, because it's so poisonous. It's also a sterilant. It makes you infertile, and it also makes you be in a state of, it makes you infertile and sterile and servile. Don't drink fluoride. We've got a really good distiller at healthmasters.com. It'll take all that junk out of your water. And once you clean out that distiller one time, and you see how much calcium carbonate's in your water, and that causes hardening of the arteries, you're not going to want to be involved with it. Now, here's a new article that just came out. This is a brand new drug that just came out. It's $14,000 a year to lower cholesterol. Now, remember, when you lower cholesterol with these drugs, and they do lower cholesterol, I'm not even going to argue about that, but it doesn't reduce the risks of heart disease or diabetes or cancer. And what happens is the response is so low as far as what it does that here's what this author says. He goes, imagine a roulette wheel with 99 black slots and one red slot. That means you're betting 101. The manufacturers of cholesterol-lowering drugs have managed to convince 29% of the American public, over 100 million people, 29% of the American population and nearly 100% of physicians that you should bet on the red. That means almost 100 million people are told to bet on the red that you're going to win this, which is insane. 101 odds doesn't work. Yes, these drugs will lower your cholesterol very effectively. What you're missing here is that the lowering of cholesterol does not result in lower clinical events like heart attacks or stroke in the vast majority. And then it goes on to say, in other words, 244 subjects would need to take rosuvastatin for 1.9 years to prevent one heart attack. 244 subjects would have to take it for 1 year to prevent one heart attack. In fact, 99% of those who took rosuvastatin received no benefit in lowering their risks of heart attack. I loathe this drug. In my last book, Breakthrough Health, I wrote an entire chapter on the statin disaster and how people have been lied to by this stupid drug. When your cholesterol drops under 200, Sharon, and then all listeners, all you guys are listening tonight, your risks of cancer go through the roof. And when you take cholesterol drugs, your risks of congenital heart failure go through the roof because your body stops producing coenzyme Q10. Plus, you're risking skeletal muscle necrosis, which is rotting of the skeletal muscle tissue, which can also lead to kidney failure. And, I mean, it's unbelievable what happens when you take statin drugs, how poisonous they are. If you're that concerned about your cholesterol, which you shouldn't be if it's under 300, I mean, if it's over 300, you need to change your diet, start drinking more water, take the vitamin E, go on our healthy blood chemistry protocol at healthmasters.com. But the last resort for your doctor to do is to give you a statin drug if your cholesterol is okay between 200 and 300. It used to be normal at 300, then they lowered it to 250, then they lowered it to under 200, and now they're
lowering it.
Well, that's right. And what it does, it also blows out the testosterone. Without cholesterol, you can't manufacture testosterone. And all disease rates go through the roof, particularly cancer, as you go lower and lower on cholesterol. Your body has to have cholesterol for the brain to function. And that's why so many people, between the aluminum shots from the flu shots, the aluminum that's being used in the thimerosal, the mercury that's still in those flu shots, and the aluminum, and all of this statin drugs that these people are being given, that's why senile dementia has gone through the roof. How many friends, I mean, your mom this past week has some dear friends of hers up in the park. Tell the story about what happened to her friends. Coming down with senile dementia, and here's what their solution was.
Well, they wrote a suicide note, got in their golf cart, closed their garage door, turned the car on, and just asphyxiated themselves and left a note for the neighbor. And It's just sad because they were just so, I guess it was Alzheimer's or something. I don't know what it was, but I mean, you know, that's crazy. And then you leave a family, you know, just all the kids and everything. It was horrible.
Well, I mean, remember, think about this. Three flu shots with thimerosal, which still contain, the multivial flu shots still contain mercury. Three flu shots in a row in a person over the age of 60 increases the risks of senile dementia by 50%. Now, that's nuts. That means you walk over to your light switch, and there's two of them over there. One of them you get electrocuted, one of them you're okay. That's 50-50 odds. Are you kidding me? I mean, who does these shots? And they don't even work on top of that, and you get sick from them when you take them.
Well, all I know is my mother has been with us for 30, we've had, been Health Masters, what, over 30 years, and she's 30, been with
35
us every step of the way, eating like we eat, taking our supplements. She's not on one prescription drug. She's 80 and a half years old, not on one prescription drug. You know, she's not running around like she used to, but she still plays golf. She's totally mentally acute, and all her friends younger than her are dying.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely crazy, you know, how people don't listen and they get sick and die. And it's wonderful how your mom has stayed with us all these years and followed our protocols and is doing
great.
Well,
she's so coachable. She's, what do I need to do?
What, you know, here's her friends, they were younger than her and they killed themselves this past week. And see, the crazy thing about this is, senile dementia is like walking down a hallway, a dimly lit hallway, and the deeper you go into it, you forget who everybody is and everything else is around you. It's a horrible, horrible thing, and there are over 50 drugs right now that are being given to seniors that increase the risks of senile dementia.
Gosh.
I mean, the reality is all drugs have side effects, and all drugs normally have natural alternatives. Now, that's not true sometimes. Sometimes that's not true. Normally, though, they do. Now, if you have a trauma case or a severe infection, you got to do antibiotics or something like that, or you go in the hospital, you have to have surgery, you have to have anesthesia. You can't do natural things like that. But I'm not talking about trauma care. I'm talking about normal, maintaining health care, because there's a big difference between trauma care and health care, isn't there, Sharon?
Oh, definitely.
Now, let me read you this. This will get you cranked up since you're an athlete. A feminist mental health czar. This is a woman over there in Britain who's actually in the Department of Education's mental health. She's the Department of Education's mental health champion. She's obviously militant feminist, and they start the article with feminist mental health czar. This woman wants to curtail boys' access to gyms in Britain. And she says she wants a law written that any boy under the age of 16 may not go to a gym by himself because he may talk to people he shouldn't talk to, and that they may have a bad influence on him because of the peer-to-peer advice. And basically, they don't want him to be an alpha male, I guess, and they want him to be, I guess, a wimp boy. And she goes, finally, she goes, firstly, it's because young men are vulnerable and dangers lurk beneath the gym's friendly edifice, number one. Secondly, there's a potential for distorted body image. Well, they may actually want to stay in shape the rest of their life. I guess that's distorted. And gyms are currently providing a need which should be met elsewhere in the community. Where's that going to be? I mean, obviously,
Ted, I'm so over. I'm tired of all this politically correct stuff and these. What now they're talking about transgender bathrooms in the schools. I mean, I am so over this. It makes me just want to just scream because, you know, kids need to be kids. They need to get out, get exercise, go outside and play, get off the couch, get away from their video games, get off their computers, and actually be kids again. And, you know, actually get some muscles, be strong, have some energy. I mean, what do they want them to be? Have all these big bellies and legs and can't run and can't breathe. And, I mean, it just don't get me started.
I think I already did, Sharon. But, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, and that's why when I read this article by this feminist, her name's Natasha Devon, I thought to myself, are you kidding me? She really believes this? I mean, one of the best things that ever happened to me when I was like 15 years old, I had a friend of mine named Jerry Allen start taking me. I was working out at home the best I could, and I had a friend start taking me to a gym called Jerry and B's Health Club over in Winter Haven, Florida. I ended up working there part-time to pay my membership, and then I ended up basically managing the thing on like the weekends and when I was, you know, still in high school and going to college. And I spent like 2 or 3 years in this gym all the time working out, got huge, got super good shape, really helped my self-esteem, my body image. I've worked out my entire life now. I'm 60 years old. We still train 6 days a week. And it set up a habit, a pattern that I've kept my entire life, because the Bible says, train up your children in the way they should go, and then when they are old, they will not depart therefrom. And see, that's what it did for me. It completely
changed. All of our children have worked out in the gym since they were, you know, so old. And like you said, look what it did for your self-image. When you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you're a lot more productive. You have a high self-esteem. You have a higher self-worth. It's just part of it.
It is. Oh, here's another real good article. This says research shows that prayer can actually restructure your brain in less than 2 months. It says researcher and neuroscientist at Harvard, no less, Sarah Lazar, has found that your brain structure changes noticeably after less than 8 weeks of prayer. She said that it's found to increase brain size, larger volumes of gray matter, specifically the right orbital frontal cortex, and larger amounts in the hippocampus. These are areas that are especially important in tasks associated with attention, emotional regulation, and mental flexibility. Prayer has also been found to decrease the size of the amygdala, the amygdala associated with fear and stress responses. She goes on to say that both the orbital frontal hippocampal areas have been implicated in emotional regulation and response control. Thus, larger volumes in these regions may account for people who prayer's singular abilities and habits to cultivate positive emotions, retain emotional stability, and engage in mindful behavior. And then he goes on to say the hippocampus is essential for forming long-term memories by consolidating short-term memories. If you're not happy with your memory, there's a simple remedy. Sit down, let go of your thoughts, and pray about it. And what's interesting about this is we just saw a really good movie this weekend that I want to endorse. I've never really endorsed a movie on the show. It's called War Room. Sharon, what do you think about that movie?
Ted, it was probably the best movie I've ever seen. We laughed, we cried, but what it let people know is that the power of prayer, just what you got through talking about. And we need to, you know, get on our knees and fight this war we're having on our knees and on prayer, and pray to God Almighty that He'll come and heal marriages, that they don't want marriages anymore, that a man and a woman shouldn't be, you know, married and ruining the families, you know, that they want to just get rid of all God's creation as far as what God ordained. And this movie, if you haven't seen it, you've got to trust it. You've got to go see it. It'll change your life. Tell everybody about it, because this is how we're going to get our country back. This is what's going to bring America back, is that we get on our knees and we get hope again. Because this show is all about hope. It's not about doom and gloom. We're giving you answers how to live an abundant life.
That's right. In fact, I've got another article here. It says 10 ways to stop negative thoughts from affecting your health. And what they're saying is we have like 60,000 thoughts a day, but 90% of these thoughts are repetitive. And a lot of these thoughts go into the subconscious brain, and they actually program your subconscious and cause all this physiological stress that reduces your immune system and increases inflammation in your body and causes all kinds of health risks. It goes on to say that you need to nourish your brain, give it omega-3 fats. I can't tell you how important this is for the fish oil products that we carry that are mercury-free. They're so important that you nourish your brain with omega-3 fats, because your brain's primarily fat. Number two, you have to get quality sleep. I know I take melatonin, and you do every night, Sharon, to get to sleep well, especially over the age of 40. You really need to start having melatonin every single night, because it really helps you with human growth hormone. It helps you with your hormones. It helps with so many different things. But quality sleep is very, very important. And it says give yourself a tech detox, which basically means turn off the media every so often and stop watching the idiot TV. I mean, how many times have you and I sat down in the last 5 years and watch the entire evening news together? Annie, I don't think we have one time, have we?
I can't stomach it, Ted.
No, it's ridiculous.
It's too negative for me.
No, yeah, I don't want to listen to it. And again, that's the next thing it says, you know, make sure you work out, you do exercise, and that you feel positive thoughts in your heart. This is a day the Lord hath made. We can rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Now, we posted on our website like 4 pages of affirmations that you and I sat down one day and we wrote together.
For our children.
Positive affirmations for your life. Can you tell the folks some of these affirmations, Sharon? They go to the website and get the rest of them.
Yeah, when I put them together, I mainly did them for our children, because they're getting programmed so negatively in this world right now. And we tell them, we say, I'm a winner. I do what it takes. I find a way. We talk about, you know, that I'm a friend. To be a friend, I'm a friend. I always tell the truth. You know, I love to eat healthy food. Just all these positive affirmations that talks all the way about
And the way we use these affirmations, we tie them into our prayer life. And, you know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Commit your plans unto the Lord and they will succeed. And what the one thing I liked about that movie is it really showed them taking scripture and applying prayer to it. And I said, that's what we all have to realize, is that if we apply scripture and prayer together and we speak God's word back to God, He has to answer, because it's His own word. And that's what's
so
good.
He wants us to fellowship with Him. And, you know, people get so busy, they don't spend any time with God. And, I mean, God may be answering your prayer and you don't even know it, because you don't even have any relationship to talk to them. If you don't spend time with somebody, how are you going to be able to communicate with them?
Well, and see, that's the thing, is God doesn't want, you know, a convert. He wants a relationship. He wants you to be converted, but he wants you to be in love with him as a friend, as his, as your God, as a companion, as someone you walk and talk with all the days of your life. That's why every morning with the kids, we sit in the kitchen and we have at least an hour's family meeting with prayer every single day. Let's finish these real quick because we're almost out of time.
Okay.
It says that you have to mix with positive people. Now that's the truth. Now there's a few people out there that are holding you back. I'm telling you the truth here, guys. If you got family members and every time you get around them, it's like having your energy drained out and you feel so negative and so awful after you've seen them and been around them, chances are you probably don't need to hang out with them. And that doesn't just mean family members. You can be other friends too. And if you've got a couple that you like to hang out with, but one of them is kind of yuck and kind of awful, it's probably best not to hang out with either one of them if they come in a pair, because I tell you what, sometimes you've got to breathe a lot of coal dust to be around somebody you like, and that coal dust isn't going to be very healthy. Of course, I'm using it as a metaphor. Now, it's another one that says, don't be offended. This is important. You know, walk in forgiveness. I mean, everybody does somebody wrong sooner or later. And, you know, and none of us are perfect. And the reality is this. God so loved us that he overlooked our offenses and he gave us grace. Well, if somebody else does something wrong, why can't we be more like God and just give them grace and just forgive them for what they've done? Because the reality is if you run around being bitter your entire life, it elevates cortisol. When you elevate cortisol, that's a stress hormone which causes rapid aging, and it causes arthritis, it causes cancer, it causes all kinds of problems in high concentrations, and you can't have it in your body.
Bitterness can kill you.
It will kill you, yeah.
It really can.
And it says another one says, love yourself. And I believe that, too. I believe we need to have a relationship with God. We need to have a relationship with ourselves and with our family. And, you know, we had a 14-year-old daughter who's now out, you know, in Colorado going to school, in Montana going to school. And I told her one day she was having some problems, and that's why one of the reasons we sent her to this school, this Christian school. I told her, the problem is, I said, Alexis, you got into a situation where you no longer respect God, you no longer respect us, and you no longer respect yourself. And I said, that's a bad place to be, because life's just not that difficult. And you don't have to live it this way. But hopefully they'll be able to help her out there, because we told her. We did all we could for her. But we love her. We ride her like every other day. And we're in constant communication with her. She's doing great. She's actually thriving out there. And another thing we have to realize, too. We've got to exercise. And I mentioned a second ago, we're out of time. We'll be off in the air just in a second. But we've got to exercise every single week, at least 3 or 4 times. My last night, I was talking to my 16-year-old son, and Austin and I train 6 days a week. Austin's huge. I mean, you should see a picture of the guy. He works out all the time. He's like 220 and 6 foot tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. And yes, ladies, he's already married with a baby on the way. But the craziest thing about it is that, you know, my 16-year-old, I told him, I said, you know, son, you need to start working out with us, working out at night. I said, it's important to cultivate this behavioral pattern of training hard and working out hard and staying in shape all the days of your life. Now, he's in karate. He's a first-degree black belt in karate, my 16-year-old son. But he hasn't been as active as he needs to, because he's a second-year college student. And he's a second-year college student. He's 16 years old. He's a junior in high school to graduate next year with his high school diploma, his AA degree, and be 20 hours short of having his bachelor's degrees finished when he's 18 years old, which is pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned. So he's doing so much stuff right. But I talked to him last night. I said, life is about developing a relationship with God, your family, yourself. Everything ties together, and that's how you determine success as you get older. Success isn't determined by how much money you make. It's determined by the relationships you have and the fulfillment you have as far as being on this planet. Sharon, you got about 10 or 15 seconds. Anything else you want to say?
Ted, I think you've summed it up. I've really enjoyed it. I mean, we're a team, and every time I get to do stuff with you, it's great. I mean, I've got the most incredible marriage in the world, the most wonderful husband in the world, and you're a great communicator, and I just love helping people.
Well, I didn't expect you to say all that about me, Sharon. Thank you. I feel the same way about you. We've been blessed. God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday night. I hear you next Sunday night. Stay tuned right now for Dave Hodges. He'll be on next.